Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to April 2024's edition of We Podcast and We Know Things. My name is Greg Horn. Alongside me, as almost always, the best damn voice in the business, Sam Matoro.
Well, I'm officially on the back nine.
Happy belated birthday, my friend. 35, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's been falling apart since like 33, 32, so it's, you know, just another number at this point.
I will be 36 in a couple weeks, so that's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's like once it's like April, I know it's like everyone's birthday. It's like me, your dad, my nephew, my mom, boom, 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 you, my sister. It's there's so many freaking birthdays. It's like, God damn.
Yeah. I'm just excited that we made it 60 seconds in this episode and you haven't muted yourself by accident.
I'm still on the screen too, so even if it did revert to mute, I would change it. But once we start getting to the show, if it automatically reverts, just bear with us. We're doing it live. It's getting late. We're tired. Our feet hurt. Our voice is sore. But here we are.
It's not our normal recording night. You know, we usually record on Thursdays. We're doing Wednesday this month, and we have like a very jam-packed but weird show. For the first time in 9 years or 8 years or however long we've been doing this podcast, I don't even remember, we do not have a gaming section in a normal standard show. Now, we had a gaming story, but like it just wasn't worth it. I don't think anyone out there listening cares at all about what I have to say about Princess Peach's Showtime. And I don't think I care what I have to say about Princess Peach's
Showtime. That's all we need to know.
So we're not going to have a gaming section. We're going to have movies. We're going to have TV. We're going to have our What You Been Up To. We'll talk a little bit about a potentially major acquisition to round out the show. And then we'll be on our way. But we have, like I said, a metric ton to talk about within the movie space and the TV space. So we got a boatload of content to bring to you and all in under 2 hours. So let's get started. Without further ado, Sam, what you been up to?
All right. Hopefully it did not switch to mute because I had to switch to my different set. Okay, let's see if this works. All right, so I'm still continuing watching X-Men 97. Episode 7 just dropped today, which was much better, I will be honest. Episode 6 was my least favorite. I'm sure everyone watching would agree with me because it kind of involved something completely different than where we were. But if you're at Disney Plus, make sure you're watching X-Men 97. That's been on point so far.
And episode 5 was the big crazy one that everybody keeps talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a major death.
Yeah. I figured.
Yeah. So, but again, like there's other like Cables was kind of introduced. So it's like, okay, when Cable's involved, it's, you know, there's time travel. So it's like, okay, they could come back at the finale of this season and, you know, come back and just save them again. So that's what I'm expecting. But when it happened, I was caught so off guard, was not expecting it. So that was cool to see. So make sure you're checking that out. Number two, I finally saw the remake of Roadhouse on
Amazon Primer one. Yeah,
it's, you know, hey, I'm like, it's there. What am I gonna do? It's directed by Doug Liman, and you got Jake Gyllenhaal, and of course Conor McGregor. And I'm not gonna lie, it was better than I thought. I thought it was going to be utter dog shit, and I was actually entertained. I'm not saying it was the best movie ever made, but I'm going to say it took me by surprise. Action was decent. It has some corny lines, some predictable stuff, but I'd still say the original, it's always going to be the OG, but this one, surprisingly, it was pretty good thanks to Jake Gyllenhaal. Number three, I saw Dave Attell's new special on Netflix called Hot Cross Buns, and I feel like he's like the last comedian who's like it's like, no respect, Rodney Dangerfield. He's just so quick with jokes. I feel like comedians now aren't that quick. A lot of comedians now is like super story driven and his just quick witted. Dave Attell, being old school and been Insomniac and all that stuff. It was good to see Dave Attell. Number four, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar.
Oh, God. You saw it. Oh, God.
I did say it. I'm, you know me, I'm a glutton for punishment. And it is. And it's not good.
What percentage of the movie is in slow-mo? I need to know.
No, a lot of it. Like, I'm almost shocked how much it is in slow-mo.
True nightmare.
Visually, you know, special effects, some action scenes, it looks great. It looks awesome. But it's the characters are just so bland and lifeless. Like, I don't care about anybody. Like, I don't know anyone's name. That's not a good sign. Like, I'm not invested in everything. You're trying to say the story with these people sacrificed. You're doing a slow-mo shot of some stupid-ass shit. This one was like 2 hours, and I could have cut probably 20 minutes at least. And respect to Zack Snyder, because he made some of my favorite films, but the last two have been some swings, and he's been missing. But again, like, he's getting the views. He's been number one on Netflix. I mean, if that's what he's trying to do, he's doing a good job. I think there's a plan for like 4 or 5 movies of this, and a spinoff, and it's got to go.
Was there any redeeming quality?
There was like a cool action sequence, like
in 2 hours. There was a cool action sequence.
Oh, I'm trying to be honest. Like, I like Ed Skirin. I like him as the villain. I liked him in Deadpool.
Is there a part where like he's in some sort of makeup or something, like in a mask, and they like rip it off and he like comes out of it or something?
In the first one, he gets like tragically, I'm just going to say, injured.
Okay.
And something like that. Yeah.
Right. Right. Fair enough.
But he was okay. It's just, I don't know. This one, the whole thing needed to get rewritten. Something was that he's trying, like I said, there's a good movie somewhere in here, but this ain't it. So
being 2 parts probably crushed it. It probably would have been a more succinct 1-part movie.
That and being, you know, your two movies, they both felt kind of lifeless. It was a lot of the same. I just didn't give a shit. I wasn't invested. So it's not a good sign for the rest of them. But yeah. And the last thing I have on the things I've been up to or whatever is I beat Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Oh, dear.
Finally, I had a couple almost rage quit moments. The first one was with Rufus. I just didn't have the correct materia attached. And, you know, once I changed a couple things around, you know, I beat him first try. But then when I get to Sephiroth and it's like a 4-part battle of different stages of you're with different groups, different characters. And I know a lot of people had, I think, trouble on the 3rd part, which surprisingly I didn't. I beat him relatively easy. But his final stage, if you get to his health bar and it's like that last little quarter bit, and if you don't beat him fast enough, he hit you with this attack, you're dead. You could have revival earrings, you could have your shields, dead. It doesn't give a shit. It's an automatic kill. And I'm pretty sure I probably died maybe, I'm going to say 10. And I mean, like, frustrated. Like, when I beat him, it was like 11 something at night. I had work the next day. Like,
that's serious stuff.
You know, I think it took me 55 hours to beat this game.
Good for you, man.
And
it's complete dedication to gaming.
It was dedication. However, the mini games, I wasn't a huge fan of the card game. I know a lot of people.
A lot of people are.
Mm-hmm. I know some people liked it. Some people said, "Hey, well, you got to get used to it." I was like, I thought it was a waste of time. And I'm not saying I did the bare minimum, but I did just enough to get me where I needed to go. And other than that, the boss battles were hard, challenging. Some of the mini games were fun because it was racing involved, and I actually enjoyed it. And I have it up there. I think I liked the first one a smidge more just because it was like, it was the first one. It was the remake. It was just the excitement. I love both stories. I did. It was both challenging, but just the first one, I'm just being it like, there it is. It's been whatever 20 years, however long it's been. And I think that excitement gives the first one a little bit more of the edge for me. But other than all, it was a great game, and make sure you check it out. How about you? What have you been up to?
Barely any gaming. Well, hold on. A lot of gaming, not a lot of variety, and then a whole bunch of watching. I've been spending a lot of time catching up on my movies, my TV shows that I've been wanting to get to, and then some new stuff as well. So first and foremost, I rewatched 4, count them 4, Planet of the Apes movies, because I am a guilty pleasure person for that 2001 Spielberg one with Mark Wahlberg. I think that is an underrated movie. It's not the best. It's not a great movie, but the makeup, the prosthetics, like a lot of that stuff was so far ahead of its time. And if Mark Wahlberg had 1 ounce of personality, it probably would have gone a lot better. He's just so freaking dry.
It was better than The Happening. That's it.
anything is better than his acting in The Happening. We all know, though, love The Happening. Fantastic. Bad movie. But then I went through and I watched the most recent Apes trilogy to get myself ready for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which comes out in just a few weeks. So I did Rise, Dawn, and War. Rise still held up, the James Franco one. Very, very good. Dawn, the middle one, might be my favorite of the three. Same. War is fine. It's good. It's not great because...
It's not great because two is better.
Two is better. What is Woody Harrelson up to? Like, there's this weird thing where all of a sudden, like, they can become mute, and it's like because he handled the doll, but like there are other things than that. The girl, a lot of it was just like, but yeah, I think the second one, Koba, is just such a great, you know, ape villain, and the kid from Harry Potter's in it. I mean, like, what's his name? The little blonde kid. I don't even know. Draco Malfoy. He's in it as like an ape tamer. You got Brian Cox from Succession is in it, who owns the ape taming sanctuary. Like, it's, well, actually that's the first one, but I enjoy both of those movies, and the third one too. So I'm ready for Kingdom. Second, like everybody else on planet Earth, I watched Quiet on Set, the Nickelodeon behind the scenes documentary, Dan Schneider, all of that, Drake Bell. That bonus episode they came out with afterwards was not for us. It was very much like trying to capitalize on the popularity of the show. Meanwhile, most of it was done via Zoom, and it's just not my thing. Reminded me very heavily of like Tiger King 2 or Making a Murderer 2. You just didn't need to do a sequel. Let the thing be the cult thing and just let it breathe. But like everybody else, watched and enjoyed that documentary from an entertainment perspective, but obviously from a personal and human perspective, Jesus Lord Drake, what a brave person to tell that story and be able to get that out there. But yeah.
And I remember, you know, years ago where he was going through whatever troubles he was, and we're like, man, he lost his mind. And now, like, thinking back, knowing what this guy went through and kid at the time, like, dude, we're watching you we're laughing at home and you're going through this freaking tragedy. It's like,
he did release a song when it came out, and it was about that experience. And some people are, you know, you're trying to capitalize on it. Other people are like, you know, you're telling your story. And there's another thing on my list here about telling someone's story and turning it into art. So I have no problem with what he did. But yeah, like everybody else watched that documentary, enjoyed it. From the gaming lens, the only thing I am currently still playing is Balatro. I am at like 120 hours.
Jesus God. I thought 55. I was like, man, I'm getting out of hand.
I've unlocked every deck but one in the game, and I'm really struggling. It is really freaking hard right now. I have been stuck on this one deck trying to unlock this final deck. But they're about to drop in the next couple of weeks the first major update where they're adding new jokers, new, you know, balanced things. So I'm just going to sink 55 more hours into it. It's the only game I've been playing. I'm going out to Seattle in a few days, and so I'm going to be on the plane Balatro-ing it up the whole time. It's a 6-hour flight from Newark right through to Seattle, so I'll have some time on the plane. Yeah, no, I'm flying into Newark for an hour and then flying through to Seattle. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. I'll find some time to do that on the plane, but I'm still hooked on Balatro. It's so good. Then the last two things I watched I want to talk about. I very much enjoyed both of them. They are brand new TV shows that came out this year. I had gotten really sick, and so I was in bed for 4 or 5 days out of work and everything. So I really had a good opportunity to binge and catch up on some stuff I've wanted to watch. And the first show I think would interest you in particular. I don't think the second one would, but the first one, The Gentleman on Netflix.
Oh, I got it. I saw it and I forgot to write it.
Did you? Oh, you saw it? You watched
it? I literally just finished it 2 days ago.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Theo James and all of that. Really good series, I thought. Almost top to bottom, satisfying-ish ending, happy with it all. But this is a story about somebody who passes away, and he leaves his fortune to his son, which is his entire estate. And on the estate, they find out that the son finds out that there's an underground weed or cannabis farm where a lot of dealings and happenings go on. And so he has to kind of cope with or manage through what that's like and trying to get them off of his land, but they're so entrenched, and how do you deal with that? It's a very dark comedy mixed with not a ton of thriller, but maybe a little bit of drama. I just thought it was really engaging. What did you think of the series? Yeah,
and this was Guy Ritchie. I think he created it, I believe.
He wrote it. He created it. He directed some of it too.
Yeah, I think it was two or three episodes. Yeah. And which was fine. I think the only person I knew going in was actually Vinnie Jones, and I didn't even know he was in it until I actually saw him. I was like, oh shit, it's the Juggernaut, bitch. So it was definitely, I forget who told me it was really good. So I was, let me check it out. And I was just, whatever day it was, I think I binged the first five episodes. So I was like, okay, this is a good show. It made me watch five episodes in like the first five. They're like an hour a pop.
Yeah, especially those first few. They really tack on the runtime on those first few episodes.
So, hey, the first one was like an hour 15, hour 20. I was like, damn. So I invested the time, but it was worth it. I was engaged. It keeps you thinking. His crazy ass brother, all on drugs and a chicken suit and the whole bit. And it was just kind of madness, but it held its own.
Yeah. Giancarlo Esposito is in it. He's very good in the role.
I can see this going for a season two. So
it was really enjoyable. Eight episodes, I believe. It's got an 8.1 on IMDb out of 10 for the series. It's very well regarded. I have nothing but really good things to say about it. I remember looking over at Ashley and just being like, that was really satisfying. We binged it in one day. We watched all eight in one day. We didn't have the kids over the weekend. On Saturday and Sunday, we didn't have the kids. Well, till Sunday morning. So on Saturday, we were like, what are we going to do with 24 hours alone? Like, let's get Rita's Water Ice. Let's get Panda Express and let's binge watch something new. And we chose a gentleman. And
some of Bed Bath on the back. We don't know if we're going to have time, but we'll try.
So we knocked that one out. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was something that I just finished yesterday. But knocked it out in two sittings. Couldn't do one because it was so hard and so like dark, and it made you just, oh my God, Baby Reindeer on Netflix. It was a really tough watch, a super grueling. If you don't know what Baby Reindeer is, it's sweeping the Netflix storm. It's seven episodes. They're only like a half hour each. It's only like 4 hours of content. It's really easy to get through in terms of timing, but it's a painful, challenging watch. It's a story about Richard Gadd, an aspiring stand-up comedian who unfortunately gets met with a stalker who shows up to his work one day. He offers her a drink on the house, and it turns into this big giant stalking thing. It is a true story. He has told this story. He turned it into a one-man stage play. Netflix then approached him and said, would you like to turn this into your story, into a series that he then wrote and starred in? So he's reliving all of this trauma that he went through not even a decade ago, but weaved in through all of this, as you want to root for the guy. He makes these terrible, horrible decisions, and there's a show with no protagonist, no antagonist. Everyone just kind of sucks, and it's kind of this just like heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching seven episode ride that again wraps up very nicely. And if you haven't heard about it yet, you're going to really soon. 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb, certified fresh at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone's glowing about Baby Reindeer, and for really good reason. It's an excellent Netflix series. Netflix has been on fire this year from an original series standpoint, and that's really refreshing because they just keep getting more expensive, and I just keep getting more pissed. So it's nice to have some justification to spend my money on.
Yeah, every time I see the bill when I'm going to my bank account, I'm like, you sons of bitches.
Have you heard about Baby Reindeer?
No, I didn't actually.
It's really good. It's a dark, it's not billed as a comedy, but he's a stand-up comedian, so naturally there's going to be some sort of humor in there to try and lighten the tension, lighten the load. But this stalker, hundreds of emails every day, hundreds of, you know, correspondence, waiting outside of the house. You know, all of this reminds me of an ex-girlfriend I had. Unfortunately, that is a true story. Shout outs to the people that helped me through that. But anyway, long story short, that's what I've been up to. Tons of watching. I'm going to have even more next month because I'm going to be on so many flights coming up, so much hotel time for me. So I'm sure I'll have a whole boatload of crap to talk about the next time we meet. But this is the point of the show where we're going to dive into the stories. We're going to start with movies. I am so excited to hear your thoughts on this, Sam, as we transition into our very first story of the night. Deadpool and Wolverine got a full-length Red Band as Hell trailer. What'd you think?
It's fantastic. We've been waiting to see Hugh Jackman in the yellow Wolverine suit for 24 years. And, you know, the first image first, it was, you know, oh, he has sleeves. Blah, blah. Bam, right in the trailer, you already see he's sleeveless. He's 55 years old, Hugh Jackman, and he's jacked. And the fact that he's carried this role and somehow looked better with age is actually insane. But I just know that, number one, this is going to save MCU. This is a guaranteed over $1 billion. It's not even close. It's rated R. I mean, I think it's sold everywhere. I don't think I heard a bad thing. The only bad thing I heard was they might be trying to jam too much in here, which could be, because I'm sure there's going to be so many cameos that they've kept on their wraps. There's already a few that possibly could have leaked. But I think this is going to be a home run, and I think this is probably going to be the best Deadpool movie out.
Deadpool 2 was just not great to me. I remember being just like really underwhelmed, even the theater. And that's when I was at the height of my MCU love. Deadpool 1, classic. Don't touch it ever. Deadpool 3 seems to be pulling me back in. A lot of Easter eggs in the trailer, obviously. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun stuff going on. A lot of like plot twists. I'm sure it's going to be the alternate universe stuff, and that's the crap I don't like. But it is Deadpool who just kind of stakes his claim and makes his name known on that fourth wall breaking multiverse, anything's possible kind of thing. So if I'm going to watch it and enjoy it somewhere, I'm sure Deadpool is going to be where, because he'll put his kind of spin on it. There are rumors that female Deadpool's in it. It's Blake Lively. There's rumors about Taylor Swift. There's rumors about everything going on in this movie. And like, you see Blake Lively all the time with Taylor Swift at like the Chiefs games and stuff. So that just fuels even more of the fire. Who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, this is just, it was a really fun trailer and something I'm looking forward to watching finally from the MCU, or at least from Marvel.
And in the trailer, you even have like a quick shot of Dogpool. Oh, yeah. You know, there's already rumors Jennifer Garner coming back as Elektra. Serum Sabretooth, you know, we saw Lady Deathstrike, it looks like, for a quick second. So, I mean, I'm in. There's no reason this movie's not going to make a boatload. Ryan Reynolds just seems to just make home runs every time.
I would agree that this is probably bookmarked for an easy bill. The MCU needs it. Marvel needs it. There isn't a lot of
movie theaters need it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of competition right now for the hard-earned American dollar in theaters. A lot of like the indie stuff is happening right now. Like the big things, like Godzilla, isn't really taking off like they thought it would. So there's at least domestically. So there's like a real big need here to give that energy or that boost to the theater. And it's going to be soon enough. I mean, it's going to be here before we know it. It'll be that big summer blockbuster that we're all excited for. And I thought the trailer did deliver. And again, finally, it feels so good to say I'm finally ready to watch something Marvel and be excited about it. When's the last time I could say that?
And they're using Hugh Jackman, Wolverine. You're pulling at everyone's heartstrings. We've been waiting to see this guy, Niels. We're getting it. Like, I already know, no matter what, I'm going to be happy. Even if I don't even like the story, it's like, I'm going to see Hugh Jackman at 55 years old still. I just that little tease of them two fighting, like, oh man, just them two talking shit. Are you kidding me? Like, sign me up. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to have its very, 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 what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
I wish I could help you, buddy.
Yeah. I can't even think of the word. And it's so obvious. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Like, it's come to be expected. I can't think of the word I'm thinking of for like to be expected. The Deadpool kind of potty mouth, like vulgarity, classic vintage Deadpool. I'm very excited for all of that. Again, that R-rated superhero, that's where I want to be if I'm going to be at superheroes. That's what appeals, you know.
Our expectations is so high of this movie, you know.
Right, and it's also like that's what's appealing about the boys and Gen V and all of that stuff is like that it's for adults. It's made for adults. It's demographic. Oh my God. Its demographic is the adult demographic. So I'm excited. I got
it's rated R. That as long as it's Deadpool, he should be rated R. I'm happy.
Cillian Murphy will reportedly return for the Peaky Blinders movie, and it will begin filming this September.
This is obviously great news. I mean, it was kind of already hinted prior to the fact that I forget, I don't know if it was Stephen Knight who said it, but someone leaked like, after the sixth series, or there might be a spinoff, there could be a possible final movie. So I just, he's so good as Thomas Shelby. He's just so, like, the fact that he didn't win, like, I know he won for Oppenheimer, which he should have because he was fantastic, but he really should have won so many awards for Peaky Blinders. So just to get another movie to get this, keep going, because we need to find his end. You can't just end the way it did. So to get another movie, an hour, 2 hours, I don't care. I'm in. Sign me up.
It's a show still very much on my list. Like, I am eventually excited to watch Peaky Blinders and binge it all. I will do what you said and watch it with subtitles.
You kind of have to. Their accents are so thick, and
I started it before, but it was so long ago. I don't remember a single.
Yeah, you got to start over. But it's only 36 episodes. Like it's right. Not that much. Like it can be done. But once you get used to the subtitles, the language, and you get sucked into the world, the characters, you see Tom Hardy and a bunch of other actors that and it's just like Shogun. Like the value, like the production, it's there. You can tell they put money into the show.
Sean Patrick Flannery and Norman Reedus are both reprising their roles for the third Boondock Saints movie. Hopefully it's a little bit better than that second one, because that one was hot trash. But again, Boondock Saints, what a cult classic. Excited to have them back.
Yeah, it's a shame, because the second one, everyone was so hype, and even I remember leaving the theater like, oh man, wanted it to be a little bit better.
A lot of bit better.
I am, of course. So this one came out in 2009, 2024. Hopefully they came up with a good story to bring back the boys. I mean, so far I only see both of them in it. It doesn't look like Troy Duffy is going to direct this. So this could be good, because he directed the first two. Maybe he just felt like he can't do it justice. Someone else is going to have to do it. So I'm probably going to see it just because of the first one, just because of that cult classic, like you said. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, like, it's got to be better than the second one.
Is it dead? It's one of the best lines. It makes me really want to go back and watch the first one again.
It's been a long time for me.
At least a decade, probably.
Probably since 2009.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw it was either right when I watched the second one.
Yeah,
or before Ashley and I got together. I know for a fact I have not watched that movie since her and I have been together, and it's been a decade.
For a rewatch. We're due.
Yeah. Wow. Beetlejuice got a trailer as well. Tons of footage, tons of Keaton, tons of everything. What do you think about Beetlejuice coming soon?
I mean, no matter what, the fact that we're finally getting a sequel after all these years. I mean, the casting as, text her name, Jenna Ortega as his daughter, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And to have Keaton, Michael Keaton now, who's got to be close to 80, or he's 72. Again, with the makeup, all that stuff, we won't even notice. I think he's going to knock this out of the park. He's kind of having this resurgence of when he was as a Vulture, then he becoming Batman again, now Beetlejuice again. Like, he just having the second wind.
It all started because of Birdman.
Birdman, which was a fantastic movie, by the way.
I liked it a lot.
So to see Beetlejuice, you have William Dafoe, Winona Ryder's coming back, Catherine O'Hara. So, like, I'm in. Take my money. This is probably a Friday morning watch for me.
It seems like Happy Gilmore 2 is happening at Netflix, and the first script might already even be done.
Yeah, I mean, like that's cool. It just sucks. It's like right after the passing of Apollo Creed, Carl Weathers. So it's like, it's still like a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. But I mean, it's.
But Chubbs did not make it through the first movie. So yeah, it's not true, like they true. Need him for true. The second one.
No, absolutely.
It just, you need a shooter, and you need to bring back the PGA lady. I'm so sorry, I cannot remember her name. And that's really it. The grandmom, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think Christopher McDonald, I think that was the guy's name. I could be a little bit off, but I think that's who played Shooter. But yeah, I agree. As long as you have at least Shooter, we're good. I love the little poking fun videos of Shooter and Adam Sandler kind of playing golf, just shooting jokes with each other, like, hey, that's for you, Shooter. Like, I thought that was awesome. So yeah, I mean, I'll see it just because it's going to be on Netflix, because that's where his deal is, right? So yeah, I'll watch it.
That was flawless Adam Sandler by you right there.
That was flawless. It was probably horrible, but guys, I'm late. Just give me a break.
Guys, I'm late. Okay. Sam's having a bad day.
Give me a break, guys.
Holy shit, Sam. Well, listen, you got to put on your talking hat for this one, too, because the Joker 2 got a trailer as well. We see Lady Gaga in the Harley Quinn getup. We see Joaquin and his transformation back into the Joker. Man, lot to unpack with this trailer. What'd you think?
I mean, I'm still going to say what I said before. I still don't think we even need the first Joker. We got it.
I agree.
I recently just rewatched it, and I like the movie. It's a downer, and it brings you to like that dark place. And it's like, I don't like to go down that road too often. So like, this is like, the Joker is a movie that I'm not going to be frequenting too often. That's not going to be like a yearly rewatch of by throwing the Dark Knight or whatever other movie. Like I can watch Heath Ledger all day. This one, I'm like, So I have a feeling that with the second one being a musical, it's like Joker in like the next dimension, like the other world Joker. I'm going to watch it because it's DC, it's Joker, whatever. And my expectations are just low, man. I'm not necessarily even hyped for it. You know, I think Joaquin Phoenix does a good job, but he's not my favorite Joker. I hope I like him a little bit more after this, but I don't know.
It's one of those movies that just feels like it's coming and happening, and there's not like a ton of hype around it. You know, he obviously crushes the role. But again, to your point, and it's, you know, I think this whole musical thing might be a little overblown. I hear like 15 songs, which I guess you could technically classify it as a musical, but I think more it's got like music at the heart of the movie. I think it's kind of like revolves around music more than being a musical, which I guess could also be an oxymoronic statement, but this is a movie that I have no interest in seeing. And I don't know, even if the musical aspect was removed, I truly don't know if I want to see it anyway. That first Joker, I saw it twice. I'm good. I think I never have to go back to that world. I don't know. It was the last movie I saw maybe before the pandemic. No, that was Sonic. I can't recall, but anyway, regardless, it was a fine trailer. Lady Gaga's looks great as Harley. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it, though. You know,
it was a $200 million movie. I mean, Joaquin was paid $20 million just to do this movie. I hope just this wasn't just like a cash grab. I don't know. I'm going to see it. I hope I'm wrong. I eat my words. Say I'm blown away. It was fantastic, but it's just one that I'm going to support and just see what happens.
It's just one of those things where we have so many universes. It's like we're James Gunn's trying to get that DCU off or DCEU, whatever, off the ground. And now meanwhile, he's going to get ramrodded by another Joker character, which then you have to worry about the animated universe. And then you have to worry about this universe and that and this. It's just so much to keep up with. And there's so many Jokers. You also have the Joker from the Batman, the Matt Reeves, universe of it. Mm-hmm. So you have Matt Reeves, you have James Gunn, you have this, you have the animated, you have Todd Phillips. It's just like how many Jokers and like movies like this do we really need? I just think it's a little bit of overkill. So they are trying to go really different with this one, which I appreciate. I just don't think it's necessary. I'm sure I'll eat my words from a monetary standpoint. The movie's going to do just fine. I wouldn't be shocked though if this is a movie where people set it and forget it and don't really come back to it, and it just kind of lost in the pantheon of DC.
I just, you know, we can use a little bit of a break of the Joker. You know, Batman's got plenty of villains. Just give Joker a break, and we'll come back to him.
Julia Garner, who was in Ozark, famously, she will play the female version of the Silver Surfer for the Fantastic Four movie coming up.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I'm sure most comic guys would say it's not what you want to see. We want Norton Red. We want the original Silver Surfer. We want the creation of Jack Kirby. I don't care about that character because it's not the real Silver Surfer. Yeah, years later there was a model. Yeah, I get it. There was a female eventually, but it's not Silver Surfer. I'm still gonna see the movie, like I say every damn time to every superhero movie. But as a comic guy, it's not what I want to see. Just honest, you know. I get she's a great actor. She was fantastic.
Is it is it, you know, I'm not trying to pull like a gender card or anything like that. I'm just asking the question. Is it because the expectation is you were looking for the male version of the Silver Surfer, or that you just don't want to see the Silver Surfer at all?
Well, no, I love the Silver Surfer, but the character that she's playing is not Norrin Rad, is not the Silver Surfer. So to me, it's just like, why are you wasting our time with this character? Like, give us the real Silver Surfer. Don't give me the B team of Silver Surfer. Everyone who read Silver Surfer or Fantastic Four comics, you know Norrin Rad. That's who it is. That's who you know. So to me, I feel like you're just like a little bit wasting time. Maybe again, I hope I eat my words, but off the bat, maybe it's smart. You keep everyone's expectations low and surprise us.
So from my lens, where I don't come in with a wealth of knowledge around the comic book universe, you know, I think about like Robin, and there's a ton of different iterations of who Robin is. Is that the same thing with the Silver Surfer?
No,
always only been one?
No, well, it was until, I think the female wasn't until like pretty recent.
Uh-huh.
I would have to look real quick.
In the last 5 years? You're talking about recent?
I would say like the last, I would say 15. Let me see. I could be wrong. Oh, no, I could be wrong. No. Okay, I was wrong. She appeared in 1968, but she was like the love interest of the real Silver Surfer. So maybe it ties in. So I could be wrong.
What's your hype level for the Fantastic Four, knowing that how you've been talking about the casting choices in general, even down to Pedro? Kind of tell me where you're at with this movie.
I'm not hype. I think, which is kind of smart just because of where I'm so stung from the last reboot that I'm like afraid to get hype. So I'm not going to get hype. I'm going to go in there just.
Even though that was Fox and this is more of just like
the mainstream. It don't matter. Greg, it was so bad. It was the Happening bad. Like, I can't. No,
the wig was really bad on the reshoots.
Yes, it but not even just the wig. It was everywhere. It was the acting. It was the story. How do you have Dr. Doom look like that? Like, the embarrassment. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't understand where everyone's head's at. So I'm going in very trepidatious, Greg. Very trepidatious.
There's a new Matrix movie in development. Are you going to go in trepidatiously to that, or are you excited for the new Matrix?
I mean, I was just as shocked as seeing that Julia Garner was Silver Surfer than seeing there's a new Matrix movie. I was like, didn't we just get another one last year? Which I haven't even seen, by the way.
I think it was, you're talking about like the tech demo for PS5?
You know, the game, but... That? No, but there was like a movie last year of The Matrix of Keanu Reeves, wasn't there? Am I crazy?
I think you're crazy. Hold on. I got
Hold on. I'm already here. Bam. I could have sworn that it came out like.
Well, wait. Did it? Maybe 2021 when they were doing the whole Max to Free thing? Maybe there was something there. The Matrix Resurrections, right. 2021. Yeah, I was right. I remember there being like when they were doing the whole same day on Max as in the theaters.
Yeah. And it came out December 22nd, so basically 2022.
Yeah, okay. I totally remember that now, actually, that you're saying it. So this is just a myth.
And just to put perspective, the budget was 190. It only made 159. So it's like, okay, wait, so this lost millions, and now you're making another Matrix movie? I don't know.
We could either get creative and make a new IP, or we can go back to the well, Sam. This is 2024. The well is where it's at.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is a good idea. I didn't even see this movie, so I can't even, you know, I don't know nothing about, so I can't even put my two cents in. It's got a 63% of Rotten Tomatoes, but sometimes that doesn't mean shit. But I don't know. I just don't think this is the good move.
This next story, I'm just thinking, like, how could this one happen? Is like there's a live action Monopoly movie in development, and I'm sitting here wondering how.
Is this Margot Robbie?
It's her production company partnering with another company to bring it to life. So they just use that because technically she owns that production company. So like they're saying her name, but let's be real. I don't know if she's going to have that much to do with it.
All I'm saying is Barbie made over $1 billion and it was her production company, I believe. And I'm not going to say I'm not going to doubt her. If she could do that with Barbie, I'll give her a fair shake.
Well, if they get Greta Gerwig to directed and all this other stuff, like with Barbie, you might be able to strike twice there with that lightning. It's just like,
yeah, what are you throwing money at?
The premise of a Barbie movie, though, you can understand.
Yeah.
Even if it was, I'm a doll, I become a person, I go into the human world, and then I interact. The Monopoly thing, what could you possibly do
as a
premise to make that into a movie? I'm struggling. Is the Monopoly guy going to, you know, is he going to like get out of jail and cross go and then go into our world? And
unless it's like it's New York City and he
tries to buy, like, I truly don't know what the real estate mogul Monopoly guy is going to do. I just always think back to Jim Carrey. You must be the Monopoly guy. I'll never forget Ace Ventura 2, When Nature Calls. An R-rated movie based on The Last Ronin in the TMNT universe is also now in development. And let's not forget, there's also a AAA game in development around the same topic. So The Last Ronin getting a ton of love.
Yeah, and this is great. I actually read the five comics, I think it was, issue. It was fantastic. Basically, it's all the turtles are killed except one. And one's on a revenge for his brothers. And you don't know who it is at first, because he kind of has everyone's weapons. And I believe I read that it was going to be rated R, which it should be.
Well, yeah, the story said an R-rated movie.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm hype as shit for this. I mean, I just want to see how, I mean, we didn't know if it's animation, live action. Like, I need to see something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in. Just take my money.
I think I'd rather play the game than watch the movie, but the movie's going to be roughly 10 times shorter. So I think I'm in on that.
I'm going to be in on both. Let's probably be real.
Yeah. I haven't really played any games lately that take up more than 20 minutes of my time at a time. It's just been, you know, life has been cray cray. Mm-hmm. So I'm just,
as the kids say,
yeah, I'm just like, when I get free time, I'm like, let me eat a quesadilla, play a little Balatro, watch a little baseball, and go to bed. That's really where Greg's head's at.
I'm a simple man.
What else would a person need besides a little chicken quesadilla and Target brand salsa? I mean, who, you know,
Phillies are winning 3-1, so it's good.
Yeah, I got that on here in the background, so we're ready to rock and roll. Let's see. We got a couple more. Scary Movie is getting rebooted, and I wonder if Anna Faris is going to be in it, and I wonder if Marla. What?
The Wayans brothers.
And like Charlie Sheen was in one, I think. And like,
grab a strong hand.
Here's the thing with Scary Movie. They have two ways they can go with this, and I'm interested to see which direction they choose. Do they go back to the well of the classic horror movies that they spoof on, or do they use the conventional movies of today, which don't have the same legacy as the older ones? Like, could you see like an It Follows type thing?
Yeah, and like, I think you're right. Something like that.
Or do you go back to the well, which of like your Halloweens, your Jasons, your Freddies, your all that stuff? Because that's where I'm like, oh man, if they're going to go with the horror movies of today, what are you going to go with? You know what I mean?
It,
The Conjuring, you know, Annabelle, which I think is in the Conjuring universe, like Insidious. So like those types of movies, maybe, but I don't know. I could see that Red Devil thing from Insidious getting spoofed and made fun. I don't know though. Or do you bring Ghostface back and like, so there is I'm very interested to see the collection of movies they choose to spoof here.
Yeah, I need to see what type of cast is going to be in it. Like, I'm not necessarily hyped for this. It's probably one that we probably didn't need to be rebooted, but
no, here we are. Whole like teen movie genre, the whole spoof movie genre, that was a very weird age of film and cinema. I'm glad it's gone.
I still love Scary Movie 2. I still think that's like a solid 9 out of 10 movie.
Yeah, Scary Movie 2, probably the best one of the bunch.
Yeah, easy for me. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely the best of the bunch. Then you have like the Not Another Teen Movie and like all of those, all of the movies that ended with the word movie in that spoof genre. Like they died a very, very painful death, and I was very happy to see that happen. And this is probably unnecessary, but at the same time, again, you can go with originality or you can go back to the well, and we're gonna go to that well until the thing from The Ring pops out of it, because it is like holy shit. Chris Farley is getting a biopic. It's in development with Josh Gad directing. Josh Gad voices Olaf from Frozen. He was in 21. He's a really good voice, and he's a good singer and all this good stuff. And Paul Walter Hauser is going to star as Chris Farley. He was in that movie with that the Atlanta Olympic bombing. He was in Blackbird from Apple TV Plus. Very good actor as well. So I am personally all in on the Farley biopic for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I know we both grew up watching Farley, so this is going to be a must watch for us. So we'll keep an eye on this one for sure.
Yeah, if he was still alive, he'd probably still be my favorite actor. I mean, like, I could quote every line from Black Sheep and from Tommy Boy and from
his all final movie was with Matthew Perry.
There you go. Yeah. Was that it was the one where they go on the excursion or whatever?
Almost Heroes.
Yeah. There he climbs a tree and gets a big egg out of a thing and then falls down. I loved Almost Heroes.
It wasn't the greatest reviews, but it was like a stupid, goofy, funny movie.
It's a very much a
leave your brain to door and just go have fun.
Like it's stood the test of time, cult classic-y type thing. It's not for everybody, but yeah. The last two stories I'm going to combine into one here just because it's two different casting choices. Keanu Reeves is officially Shadow the Hedgehog for the third Sonic movie, and Leonardo DiCaprio will be playing Frank Sinatra in that biopic.
I mean, Keanu as Shadow is genius alone. I think that's just a perfect casting. And DiCaprio was like, man, this guy's playing like every, like, what do you like, Churchill? Like, all these characters he plays, like, Sinatra's like, why not? He's a chameleon. He'll pull it off. I, as an Italian, this is going to be a day one watch. I grew up listening to Sinatra, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Little bit of consternation amongst the Sonic fandom because a lot of people are looking for Hayden Christensen as Shadow, but now it'll be Keanu, and it's like, I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of ill will there from the fan base, but it doesn't sound like it because if you're going to replace Hayden with anybody, Keanu's a damn good.
I think that's a very safe bet, my friend.
Yeah. Let's move into the TV section and let's talk about it. Spoilers are up, ladies and gentlemen. Shogun's done. Wow. What'd you think?
I think it was a fantastic TV show. I mean, all 10 episodes, we've been speaking from the high heavens since the very first episode.
From the trailer.
I mean, just I remember we first said the show, and it was Haruki Sanada producing it, acting. I was like, I'm in. No matter what, I'm in. That was all I knew in him, and he did not disappoint.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, 10 episodes, guys. I can't, like, you're going to probably see this on me and Greg's list at the end of the year. Like, this is how good of a show it was.
Yeah,
the production value of every single episode. You knew the care. The detail. I didn't read the book. I wish I did. I heard it's a very long book. I heard it's very good. I did watch our boy P. Peppers, his review. He loved it.
Well, he read the book, and there's also that 1980 10 hour like mini series version of it too.
Yeah, which people love. Which again, I'm sure that's great. I'm not seen that, but for me, not knowing any of the cast besides Hiroyuki Sanada, who plays Toranaga-san, I didn't know anybody. And I thought everyone's fantastic. I love that. Yes, they're talking English, but you know that it's actually Portuguese. And I loved everything. Oh, we did know the lady from Monarch.
Yeah,
I forgot about
Anna Sewall or something.
Yes, Sawai.
But Anna Sewall.
Yeah, she was fantastic. The story, every episode, me and you, we would watch it. We would text each other. It kept you going. I loved that it wasn't dropped all at once. I think the first time was the first two to suck you in. Then it was one by one. And we watched every, I think Tuesday came out. I can't say enough good things. I think it has 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm not even going to disagree with it. I have it probably about 95%, I think, is solid. I cannot speak highly. If you like the culture, if you read the books, if you didn't read the books, if you at all liked The Last Samurai or any type of movie like that, I think you will absolutely love Shogun.
There is another like recapper YouTuber that I enjoy. So there's Heavy Spoilers, there's Screen Crush, there's Pete Peppers, but there's also this other channel called Think Story. And he did a really good, it was like, I think 15 minutes long, comparison of the 1980 series and this one and all of the similarities and differences and stuff like that. So I very much enjoyed getting a little glimpse because I had never seen the one from the 80s. I only have this one to go on. And I think as the series went along here in 2024, I don't think it held its like highest point, but I don't know if any show can. It's very difficult to do that. I was not bored by the finale or episode 9. I was just a little bit like, not even underwhelmed, because it was one of the best series I've watched in years and years and years. It will, you know, we're going to be talking about at the end of the year. It was just absolutely phenomenal, breathtaking, loved every second of it. But I think it just left me wanting, and it's not left me wanting what other people are wanting. It's not that. I love the mental thing.
The battle
I love
of Sekigahara, which everyone is
talking about. I love how they had a battle without having a battle. And I'm okay with that. But it was just something about Blackthorn's ending and something about Torunaga's ending and something about like the way that these characters wrap their arcs that I was just a little bit on. And so that's where I'm at. Fine. It was an excellent, like you, 9.95 out of 10. One of the best shows I've watched in forever. Would want to be able to recommend this to anybody. Just that's it. I mean,
one of my favorite scenes of the whole show was Torunaga-san and Yabushi. That was one of my favorite scenes of just them two talking of like kind of one on one. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I thought that was one of my
finale, you mean?
Yeah, that was one of my top scenes of the whole thing. And I hear what you're saying about his story. I did actually watch it twice just to, because I felt like I'm missing something, and then watching a couple of videos, it helped me understand his ending. Mm-hmm. Because at first I was also like, huh? Like that's how, but I understand. And it just took me, the second time was a better viewing. I don't know if that would help you if you watch the second time, but I still think a show to, I didn't think we were going to get the giant huge battle. I know that costs a lot of money, and I know, yeah, they could have drugged this out in probably maybe two seasons, but I looked at, they stuck to their guns. No, it's one season 10. If this is a huge success and they decide to do a battle of Sekigahara of kind of, hey, here's what happens in 7-8 years, whatever, what have you. Cool. Like I'll be there day one, but to do the show one season limited, you guys nailed it. Kudos to you guys. Check it out. It's on FX, Hulu. We cannot say enough good things about Shogun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Super good. I think the highs were the high and the lows were even really high. Like, I think that's the mark of a really good show. When even its worst episode was better than most of the other television you're going to watch. So Shogun was excellent. Fallout, another show that kind of sneaky took me by surprise with how good it was and the quality of the show. It's already renewed for a season 2 on Amazon Prime. What did you think? Walter Goggins, Ella Purnell, doing really well.
Yeah, and coming from person, I didn't play, like, I haven't played 1 second of the game, so I don't know nothing.
Right.
So I'm jumping in.
You don't have to have played it to watch the show.
Like, so it's like, you played the games, and I'm coming in from a guy who didn't play the game. So we're hitting it two different perspectives. And another fantastic show. I was pleasantly surprised. Again, another show that's right now. It's high up on my list of TV shows. 8 episodes on Amazon Prime. Walter Goggins is fantastic. He's been fantastic since The Shield, since Justified, since Vice Principals. This guy's been in so much for over 25 years now, and now it's like playing the ghoul. I'm loving seeing people giving him kind of the credit that he finally deserves. I'm still hoping he's going to come back as more Justified, because I want more Boyd Crowder. But for Fallout, I again, another show you could tell the detail. Money was put into this show. I'd love to see that the fans have, even like people that played the video games, I know there might have been some drama. You might know, could speak better on this than me, but some kind of time frames of each game. I mean, obviously, I don't know anything like that, but how it was shown to me, I was in. I didn't have any problem with it. I like seeing that the big, obviously, like almost like Warhammer type tank things. That's kind of what it reminded me. Was it the Brotherhood of Steel? Mm-hmm. But I thought it was good. I really, the acting, the action, it was way more gorier than I thought it was going to be. I'm not going to lie, I did not expect to see half the shit I saw. But Amazon Prime's got another hit on their hands.
Yeah, it's really, and like the game has taken off. Fallout 76 is up to like 5 million players now in one, at like one time. Wow. It's on Game Pass, so like that's been really good. That's been a big boom for them. So it's nice to see. And like I said this about The Last of Us. I said it about Twisted Metal in a good way. Is like, you don't need to retell me the game. I can play the game to get the game. Give me, if you wanted to take it and go a little bit of a different direction, that's completely fine. Like, that's what I didn't actually mind about You Use Live Action, is like they crammed so much into five episodes, and they're like, well, great. If I wanted the arc in the way that it was told, I would just watch the anime.
I did watch six episodes the other day. I was fiending.
And so it's like if I want that, I'll watch that. But if I want this condensed live action thing, I'll go watch the live action thing. And so exactly. That's how I feel about Fallout, is if I want the narrative as it's told in the games, I'd go play the games.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the direction they went and all of that good stuff. So again, just like you, I thought the pilot in particular was masterful, gripping, funny, edgier seat type stuff, set the world up really nicely, set the conflict up really nicely, introduced the characters, gave you a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a ton of gore, and it subverted your expectations at one point, gave you a nice plot twist halfway through, and set you on your way. And I just think it did a really good job kind of getting across what this world will be, and it just really made me excited for what was to come after that. So I'm excited to see season two, excited to dive more into that world in probably 2026. And yeah, you can count me in on all of that. I thought it was a really, really solid show as well.
And critics seem to agree, 93%.
We got our first look at the Penguin series coming to Max. I'll leave this one to you, my friend.
I said it the first time. I still can't believe it's Colin Farrell looking like that in Penguin. I think he looks fantastic. I recently watched the movie again. I like it. I like the movie. I think I wanted to see more of him as Penguin. I'm glad we're getting the rated R, the dark, gritty form of the Penguin, to kind of see him in the underbellies of Gotham and to see how his rise to power. I'm in. I think there's only 8 episodes. No date. I just see late in 2024. I'm in. I'm going to give it a shot no matter what. I see we got Clancy Brown in it. I've liked him for years.
He was the only redeeming part of Dexter New Blood.
I definitely like Dexter New Blood more than you did. So I can't hate too much. I was just so happy to see him. I know the ending was probably not what we wanted.
Go rewatch the series. You won't like it.
And I'm sure. But I think I just...
You were happy he was back, so you found it. A way to like it. That's you it. Won't That's, like
Craig,
it again.
And let me, Craig, let me fucking have it. Let me have that. Just let me have it.
Go Damn watch you. It again, bro. You won't like it.
I will force myself to like it. I don't care. Erroneous, but I'm going to see the Penguin. We'll see what happens. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully he didn't go through all that trouble, all those hours and makeup, and it sucks.
Tim Robinson is getting his own 30-minute HBO comedy series called The Chair Company, where he will write and star. If you're asking yourself who Tim Robinson is, he is the guy from I Think You Should Leave. So all of the memes, all of the things, he's getting an actual scripted, drawn-out show as opposed to the sketch comedy thing on Netflix, 17-minute episode type deal. So very excited for that. He is hilarious in every way. I love I Think You Should Leave, obviously, like so many other people do. I've turned Ashley onto it, where we'll a little bit just watch a skit here and there, 2-3 minutes, get our laughs in and move on. I don't even like watching the show particularly. I don't watch the 17 minutes. I like to tune into just 3 to 5 minute sketches when I need a good laugh, and then I move on from there. Yeah. And it's just like, it scratches the itch just fine. I don't want to ruin that for me. So looking very forward to The Chair Company. But another series I was rebooted, didn't work. It's getting rebooted again. Excited for it. I'm going to let myself get my hopes up because I did love the first season of Heroes. Heroes is getting another new spinoff series or another new series.
It's a show that I've been meaning to like watch. I've never seen Heroes, but I've meaning to watch forever. Hayden Panettiere, I had a little crush on her years ago. I just never had a chance to watch it. So, I mean, people say it's good in the beginning, then I think it falls off, which is probably why it got canceled after season 4. But I mean, it's good news.
It falls off a cliff in season 2.
Okay, well, there you go.
But the first season even if you never watched another second, is still worth a watch because it does have its own mini conclusion. And so you don't feel like you're just being left out on a cliff or whatever. Dude, season one of Heroes, some of the best network television I've ever watched. It's that good. I highly recommend
it. Okay.
But don't ever watch another episode after season one.
Just cut it. Forget the three seasons.
You never have to. Just please don't. I'm telling you.
It's like The Walking Dead.
I just got an ulcer.
Triggered.
I just got an ulcer talking about that show. For All Mankind has officially been renewed for season 5, and it's getting a spin-off series called Star City, where we're going to see the events of the show again from the Russian perspective. Holy shit. I didn't know I needed this until it got announced. Give me all of the For All Man content. I am here for every single second.
I'm kind of shocked that it took this long for them to renew it. Maybe they were just thinking of a plan for season 5 and maybe the spinoff series. That's maybe why it was delayed a little bit.
I would have to imagine the renewal has been in place for a long time, but the spinoff, they were waiting to give that big punchy combo.
Could be, yeah.
And like they were waiting to see if that was going to get greenlit before making the announcement so they can go balls to the wall. That's what I would like to
think. But if it didn't get a 5th season, I would have been pissed. It would have been another show like, God damn it, I don't get to see this goddamn ending. So I'm hyped.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, season 4 ended in a way that we needed. I hope season 5 is the last season. I don't want to go any further than our timeline and our year of 2024, and we're about to hit that. So please don't go into the future where things, it's not an alternative history anymore. It's just a new future. I want to stick to history. So hopefully season 5 is it. And this spinoff series announcement is where we go after season 5. It's like, all right, season 5 tells the story, wraps it up. Let's start it over again from Star City and let's move forward with a few seasons of that. And like, that's what I think will happen. I think season 5 will be the end. And they announced the spinoff as a way to continue the series without having to go into a season 6. No. That's my personal theory.
And I'd be cool with that. I think it's a good idea.
I think I'm onto something with that theory for sure. Monarch Legacy of Monsters has been renewed for season 2 and will also receive multiple spinoffs. Man, Apple TV Plus just firing on all cylinders
here. Yeah, I mean, they're spending the money, and it's another show, Legacy of Monsters, where I thought the special effects were better than I thought they were going to be. There was money put into the show. The father-son combo of Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell, I thought paid dividends. I thought both were great. Surprisingly, Anders Holm, pretty decent in the show as well. I was hoping it was going to get a second season. I'm actually shocked. I for some reason, I just thought it was going to get canceled. I don't know if I thought it did get the views. Maybe it was just too expensive. But I love seeing, obviously, Godzilla and any monster this world. I'm in, man. I got to say, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
I'm still on episode 4 or it's 6 or whatever.
89% on Rotten Tomatoes. And good. There was one episode I think that I even told you that it was a stinker.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt.
I'll go back to it eventually and I'll finish it up. I mean, you know, multiple spinoffs, another new season. Like, of course, I'm going to eventually watch that stuff. Our last story before we get into our last story, at least here in the TV space, The Witcher is going to end here with season 5. So this will be the final season.
And I think this is no surprise. I mean, after Henry left after the 3rd season, so you're going to give Liam 2 seasons. You got to imagine viewership's probably going to be down. It was already down on the 3rd season. And plus, after Henry's gone, so most of the fans left. So I think hedging your bets to have 2 seasons, I think that's about right. I didn't want to see it go more than that anyway.
It's kind of what happened with Spartacus, unfortunately. Like, obviously, the way the first actor left the show, completely different, but you get what I'm saying. It's like they didn't want to overrun the new lead and kind of overstay their welcome there. 2 seasons, see you later, tell the story you got to tell and get on out.
Yep.
So Witcher doing a similar thing there. So definitely crazy that got 5 seasons in the first place. I know it's not on the games, I know it's on the books, but still. Point being is I really did not see this show getting 5 seasons worth of material. Yeah. And what, like a spinoff too? Didn't it get a spinoff series, or is that one of the seasons?
It did get the spinoff. It wasn't great. And also got the, I believe, the animated show as well.
Right. Yeah. So, and then there's a new Witcher game in development. So like, there's just a lot in this world. So not the last we're going to hear of The Witcher, but our final story of the night, Sony, at least in part, is in talks to reportedly acquire Paramount. That's right, CBS, Paramount Plus, Nickelodeon, all of that.
Jeez.
Could go under Sony, which does not have like a streaming service of its own where it's like it could get absorbed into Apple or Max or whatever. So I'm interested to see where that would go and the content of all of it. But if you gave me like a Sony mixed with Paramount, I think that that could be a good value prop for like a Paramount Plus rebrand. I don't know what you would call it or whatever, but I think there's legs to it. But I think this could actually be one of the very few major acquisitions that could actually do that could actually be helpful to the product and not do harm, because Paramount is dying slowly and it needs help badly. Showtime, another thing in the Paramount branch that needs help. So, you know, I think Sony coming in, it could help save the Dexter reboots. It could help spinoffs. It could help with Yellow Jackets. It could help with like other types of original content. And then again, adding its own library into the CBS Paramount library.
So you're talking about a billion dollar deal. Like it's got
multi-billion dollar. Yeah. I mean, think about it, dude. Most video game companies that are even semi-large go for $1 billion. So, what was Bungie like $3 billion?
Yeah, that was insane. That was insane.
Yeah. So it's the B word is going to get thrown around here, and Sony, you know, it is, they are Sony. They have the money, but I'm interested to see where that goes. Usually I'm not like merger, but Paramount needs help in the worst way. So I think this could actually be good for them. We're ending it on awkward silence.
I didn't mute.
We're ending on awkward silence. That's it, Sam. Any kind of closing thoughts before we get out of here this month?
After everything we talk, I still say Shogun tops everything. Go watch Shogun, people.
Yeah, go watch Shogun. The Phillies just gave up 4 runs in an inning. They're now losing by 2. But they have first and second, nobody out. So let's see how they
can. I get to watch the Phillies. Damn, my night.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm gonna go eat some dinner and finish this Phillies game. I hope you all have a great rest of your month. We'll see you next month for May 2024.
Nico, happy belated birthday, you bet.